does this in a planet-side house?
Bates folded his lip under. Harris waited him out. He might be a butler, but she was a captain.
It varies. More than it used to, more than it should, some say. Originally, household staff did it all, unless a wall fell in or something. Then, as houses became more technically oriented, plumbing inside, gas laid on, electricity...
Harris had never considered that having indoor plumbing meant someone was technically oriented.
Then, owners had to resort to outside expertise, calling in the plumber or the electrician when something went wrong. Some found staff members who could do it, but most of those trades thought themselves too good to be in service.
So, usually, it's outsiders?
Mostly, except in the really big households. Where we're going, of course, the staff does it all, but they've a whole planet of homes to care for.
The whole planet is one household?
Yes, I thought you understood. Lord Thornbuckle's estate is the planet.
Harris had known it, in an intellectual way, but she had not ever dealt with its implications. Of course, the super-rich owned whole planets, but not as pleasure grounds. She had thought of them as owning the land, perhaps, but never as owning everything on the planet, the infrastructure, the houses, the staff to manage it. But it wasn't that impossible, she reminded herself. The RSS owned several planets as well, one for resources and one for a training base. This would be like a large military installation. At once, her first frantic concerns, where do they buy groceries, where do they educate the kids, vanished.
So Lord, Thornbuckle has all the support staff on hand already? Technicians, moles, all the rest?
Yes, Captain. In the off-season, the planet's population is less than 200,000. In the main season, he'll have at least 2,000 guests, which means, of course, another 10 to 20,000 of their ship's crews and ship's staff all rummaging about the stations or off at Hospitality Bay.
Hospitality Bay sounded like the sort of place Fleet Marines went to gamble, wench, and pillage. From Bates's explanation, it was designed as a low-cost recreational base for ship's crews and off-duty house staff. In other words, a place to gamble, wench, and pillage. Most of the wealthy guests who arrived in their own yachts left them docked blind at one of the stations, which one depended on the guest's rank. It had proved cheaper and more pleasant, Bates said, for the crews and staff to vacation planetside than to enlarge the stations enough to hold and entertain idle servants. A largish island, complete with a variety of accommodations, automated service, recreational facilities, provided the chance to meet crew and staff from the other yachts. Clubs, bars, entertainment booths, and halls. Everything the vacationing staff might want.
No riots? Nothing like shore patrol?
The militia. Of course, there are always those who take advantage, and someone must keep order. It's understood that the usual structure of command does not apply. I am not held responsible, let's say, if an undergardener from this ship gets into trouble. My lady would consider that afterwards, and might say something to me, but not the militia. We each have our own places, you see.
Enlisted bars, NCO bars, and officer bars.
Harris had called up a list of the branches of the Captain's Guild and found one listed for Hospitality Bay. So she, too, would be expected to sit out the hunting season entertaining herself with other captains from yachts. Why was that so much worse than spending leave with other fleet officers? She knew the answer, but pushed it away. She'd joined the Captain's Guild. That was all she could do for now. Someday she would belong again, or she wouldn't. She'd live with it either way.
I suppose that if anything arises on the household side that I need to know about, you will inform me?
Bates smiled at her, evidently pleased. She could not imagine why.
Yes, Captain Serrano.
This is very different from the regular space service.
Yes, it is, Captain. It's even different from most civilian households. Lady Cecilia likes to do things her own way.
That, Harris had figured out from the lavender plush. Perhaps servants, like Bates, took pleasure in their employer's eccentricities. But she didn't. Yet.
I must warn you that I'm planning to run emergency drills just as I would aboard a warship. It's a matter of safety, you understand. Do the, staff have training sessions aboard?
Not normally, no. Although we do have assigned places and duties for various emergencies, Captain Olin never found it necessary.
Captain Olin, I'm afraid, had eccentricities unsuited to the master of a spacefaring vessel.
Only when she'd said it did Harris realize how odd that sounded. Eccentricities implied activities engaged in with objects obtained from catalogs with names like Stirrings and Imaginations. The only person she'd ever known thrown out of the service for eccentricities had insisted on sharing his delight in electrical and plumbing lines with those not so inclined. She had sat on the court-martial and remembered suddenly that he'd also liked having his mouth packed full of feathers. Captain Olin's eccentricities, she was sure, had been ethical and not sensual.
And these drills will be unscheduled?
Yes. I'm sorry, I realize it's inconvenient, but one never knows when a real emergency will occur, and drills must be a surprise. That way we can find out what didn't work and prepare for it. However, if you would like to arrange training first, I'll delay the drills. At the least, every member of staff should have an emergency station where he or she will be safe and out of the way of crew members with assignments. Ideally, staff would help with things like verifying that emergency hatches have locked, that ventilation systems are working according to specs, and so on.
What about Lady Cecilia and her guests?
They too must have emergency stations where they will be safe. They need to practice evacuation drills just like anyone else. If something should happen, unlikely as that is, we must know where they are to rescue them.
I see.
Bates looked surprisingly grim, as if he had never thought about the dangers inherent in space travel before.
Are there standard ways to do this?
You haven't had any instruction ever?
No, Captain Serrano. To my knowledge, none of Lady Cecilia's captains have ever had drills that involved the staff, owner, or guests.
Harris managed not to sigh aloud, but inwardly she fumed at the incompetence of those captains. Did they have no professional pride at all?
I'd better speak to her then, hadn't I? If she doesn't realize the importance of these drills, she might make it very inconvenient for you. And after that, if you have any time, perhaps we could work together to decide on the best staff response.
He relaxed and smiled and seemed perfectly agreeable. Harris took the list of staff positions and their listed specialties and went back to her side of the ship, carefully, not muttering. The yacht's database included, as law required, the complete text of the standard manuals of emergency procedures for crew and passengers. At this point, Harris considered the staff and guests equally passengers. She decided to print out a hard copy. It would be impressively thick, with the transport code seal on the cover, and perhaps that would convince Lady Cecilia that it wasn't her own peculiarity. The last access date for that file was... She stared, though she felt she should not have been surprised. The date the yacht left the builders. All those years... Her stomach clenched as she thought of the past possibilities. No, she could not expect Lady Cecilia or her woefully ignorant staff to go through disaster drills until they'd had some instruction. She wondered what the correct procedure was, if there was a correct procedure, for informing a wealthy yacht owner that her ship was, and had been, unsafe for years. She picked the hard copy out of the bin. The transport code seal looked less impressive than she'd expected, but the thing was thick enough. She looked into it, wincing at the bureaucratic prose. It was as bad as fleet directives. Everything unimportant specified in intricate detail with requirements to document that it was done, and the important things buried in multisyllabic generality. How far above the deck warning signs must be, and how high the letters and what color, but... She stopped suddenly. Warning signs? What warning signs? She flipped to the back sections, headed Required Items of Compliance and Penalties for Noncompliance. Despite the current inspection stickers, the Sweet Delight was out of compliance on at least 50 items, on the first page alone. And the penalties, if subsequent inspection discovered those discrepancies, made an astonishing figure. For one thing, a hard copy of that manual, and the ship's own customized emergency procedures manual, were supposed to be available to passengers. She knew no such hard copy existed.
I knew that stupid purple plush shouldn't be there.
Captain?
Harris looked around guiltily. Gavin stood near the door, looking apologetic.
I did ask, but you didn't seem to hear.
I'm sorry, Mr. Gavin. What is it?
It's about those crew evaluations you wanted. We never had anything like that when Captain Olden was here. I'm not exactly sure what you want.
Mr. Gavin, I need to know how you feel each crew member is doing. Do they know their jobs? Are they doing their jobs?
Well, they've always pleased Lady Cecilia before. If she don't have any complaint, I...
Mr. Gavin, Lady Cecilia is hardly qualified to judge the skills of a navigator or engineer, is she? That's my job, but since I'm new, I'm asking you to help. That is your job.
But, well, you know, Captain, they all have to know I'm doing this.
They do?
And I don't like saying things that, well, you know. And someone new like Sirkin, it's different. But these others, we've been together a long time. I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. Not that there's anything they've done wrong, but you did say to rank them.
Mr. Gavin, you are an officer of this ship. You are second in command to Captain Olin, as you are to me. It is your duty to consider the ship's welfare first and friendship second. No one need have hurt feelings to be ranked second. There's no disgrace in it, as long as the overall performance is satisfactory. Now, if you don't feel equal to the requirements of your position...
Oh, it's not that.
Very well. Then I'll expect to find your evaluations on my desk within 48 hours. It is unfortunate that Captain Olin did not carry out regular evaluations so that you and the rest would realize how necessary they are. But since he did not, you will simply have to cope.
Yes, Captain.
But he did not move away and simply stood there looking glum.
Do you have another problem?
Well, it's about those emergency drills you mentioned. I need to know when you're planning one so that I can have things ready.
Harris barely restrained herself from pounding her head on her desk.
Mr. Gavin, the whole point of an emergency drill is that it is not scheduled. Emergencies aren't scheduled. Do you expect the universe to let you know when it plans to put a rock through the hull?
Well, no, but that's not the same thing as...
It is the same thing, if drills are to mean anything. If you knew when something was about to go wrong, of course you'd be prepared. So would I, so would everyone. Didn't you see the report on the Flower of Sanity while we were in dock?
Gavin nodded.
Well, remember how the report said that the crew's training in emergency procedures was what let them save all those passengers? Even though it happened when most of the crew was off shift. I'm sure those passengers, and even the crew, didn't like unscheduled emergency drills, but that's how they learned to cope with unscheduled emergencies.
And I can see that, but that was a big ship, a commercial ship. This is only a little yacht. It can't be that important.
An electrical fire just broke out in the number 17 box. What is still functioning in this compartment, the captain's office?
Gavin stared, eyes wide.
Well, I'd have to ask Finney, but I think that...
There's no time to think, Mr. Gavin. There's only time to react. Box 17 supplies the blowers for alternate compartments on this passage, overhead lights for the compartments whose blowers are controlled by Box 18, and the electrical outlets in the heads, the bathrooms, in all compartments on this passage. And since four boxes are clustered with Box 17, an electrical fire in that is likely to knock out 16, 18, and 19 as well. That means all the blowers in the crew quarters, all the overhead lights, wall sockets, passage lights, and comm terminals, since all the compartment desktops take their power from Box 20. It's dark in here, Mr. Gavin, and there's a fire somewhere aboard. Do you know if the door will unlock?
No. No, I didn't. I don't know.
And if... that's why we have emergency drills, Mr. Gavin. To find out before we find that we're locked in dark, airless boxes while a fire rages somewhere.
Before he could say more, and anything he said now would enrage her, she thrust the hard copy of the manual at him.
Here. Start learning this. I'll make additional hard copies, and I'll expect you and your section chiefs to have marked necessary modifications within 48 hours.
He was too stunned to react. He took the manual and backed out. Harris watched the door slide closed behind him and then shook her head. It was much, much worse than she'd thought to be the captain of a rich lady's yacht. Lady Cecilia had never thought of herself as an old lady. Age had nothing to do with it, nor the number of rejuvenation treatments. As long as she could ride to hounds, as long as she could go where she wanted and do what she wanted and cope with whatever life put on her plate, she was not old. True, she didn't compete in some fields where once she had been at the top, but she thought of outgrowing old interests and developing new ones as a natural shift from one thing to another. Old people were those who had quit changing, quit growing. Some people quit growing at 20, most by 40 or 50, and became old within a decade. They would live another 30 to 50 years, longer with rejuve, but they lived those years as old people. Others, her own grandmother Serafina for one, seemed to stay lively and interesting until the last year or so before their deaths. Staying away from the family kept her from feeling old, too. Nothing like children growing up and turning into difficult adults to make you feel your age, particularly if they thought you were an old lady and treated you as one. She did not look at herself as she dressed in her soft velour exercise suit. She did not want to be reminded of her age. If they were in the gym, she'd throw them out. It was her turn. But the gym was empty, silent, scented with her favorite aromatics. They had not been here. The cushions of the lounger had dried. Cecilia locked the doors and set up her simulator. She would ride this morning, no matter what anyone said. An hour later, refreshed after a pleasant but demanding ride over a training field, she stowed the simulator and pocketed the cube. This was not a group she wanted riding over her shoulder, so to speak. She didn't want to hear whatever they might say. She looked at the gym status board and saw that they were all still in the guest suites. Fine. She stripped, showered, and let herself into the pool enclosure, blanking the canopy and turning the water stream up a little. She swam against it vigorously, then climbed out, toweled dry, and wrapped herself in her heated robe. Another check of the board. They were moving now. She grabbed her exercise suit and headed for her own suite. She should be safe. They did not meet at breakfast. Cecilia ate in her own suite, as she often did anyway, and she paid no attention to the young people. She had her own daily routine, checking with Cook, listening to Bates's report, going over whatever her captain chose to tell her about the ship's status. With Olin, that had often been a single bare statement that the ship was proceeding according to plan. She wondered about Serrano. The first day's report had been 2 pages long, some of it incomprehensible detail about why she'd chosen to move something from one storage hold to another. As if Cecilia cared. As long as staff knew and could find whatever she wanted, she herself didn't want to worry about something as technical as center of mass and potential resonance interference. This morning it was 1 page, headed with emergency drills. Cecilia blinked. Why should that concern her? The crew would have emergency drills, she assumed, but yachts, unlike liners, did not have to inconvenience their passengers. She read on, already resisting the idea. This Captain Serrano must think she was still a military commander. Her house staff to be given emergency assignments? She and her guests expected to learn and follow emergency procedures? How absurd. She remembered the fire drills long ago when she had attended the Sorgery School, and how they had all known the drills were useless. If a fire ever did start, it would not wait around for people to get out of bed, find their assigned partner, and walk down the stairs quietly, without talking, and without pushing or running. Captain Serrano's reasoning, when she got that far, made somewhat more sense. She had not really thought about the things that could go wrong, barring late meals or illness in a crew member. The vulnerability of a small yacht wandering through interstellar space hadn't occurred to her. Everyone she knew traveled in space, and the rare disappearances and accidents were no more frightening than accidents groundside. Sometimes trains and aircraft and limousines crashed. Sometimes yachts disappeared. For a moment, she almost felt it, the fragility of the ship, the immensity of the universe. But she pushed that away. It was like thinking about the fragility of her skull and the size of a horse and the fence it was approaching. If you thought about it, you'd sit in a padded cocoon forever, and that was ridiculous. Still, perhaps some emergency drills might be a good idea. Not this many, and certainly not without adequate warning. What if she were in the swimming pool? But some. She called Bates.
Yes, madam. Captain Serrano has already spoken to me about this matter. She considers it important to your welfare. She would like to help me give your staff instruction, although that would take time.
Before these emergency drills?
Yes, madam.
I suppose it's something that should have been done before, though none of the others complained.
Captain Serrano seems very competent, madam.
Which meant that Bates approved. She had better agree, so it could be her idea, because when Bates approved of something, it happened, owner or no owner. She had wished more than once that he was her captain. He had a talent for command. Very well, then. You and the captain see to it, but if she gives you too much trouble, Bates, feel free to let me know.
I don't think she will, madam. She's not like the others.
Whatever that meant, Cecilia didn't ask. She asked how the young people were doing, with no real interest, and Bates reported that they had appeared to enjoy breakfast and were now viewing old entertainment cubes in the lounge. Cecilia felt an unreasonable irritation that they were happy. They were her guests. They ought to be concerned about her. She went into her garden to play with the miniature equids. They would always come for sugar.